Good morning, everyone. We're about to start, or we're going to start now. Please find your seats and you'll have time to say hello to one another. But please stand if you are able. We're going to sing praises to God. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So join us as we sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Sing with us, church. Oh, Alan. Let's do it again. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's sing it again, church. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. So glad you came to save us. Let's sing, church.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on.
You came from heaven to earth
to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
One more time, church.
Lord, I lift your name.
Morning, Gateway. Please greet those in the name of Jesus around and about you this morning. I hope you're all well this morning, that I can just feel the excitement in the air. Something tells me we're getting closer and closer to Christmas. And I think, if my memory serves me correctly, next weekend is a long weekend. And then the holidays really start for some. So we praise the Lord that we can gather this morning, that we can fellowship this morning, that we can wait anticipation. We must really pray that it rains. It's really dry. And the farmers really, really need the prayer. They've just planted some, and the grain is about that high, needs rain. If not, the crop is dead. So let's pray that the Lord will bless us with rain. Let's pray right now. Almighty God, we praise and thank you for your goodness and love. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, that you are a sovereign God. And Lord, you know how desperate we are for rain. And we just pray, Lord, hear our cries this morning. Bring rain upon this drought-stricken land. And we just pray, Lord, that we will enjoy your favor. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I just have one or two notices. Firstly, happy birthday to Shirley Horn on your birthday over there.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Shirley. May God bless you.
Shirley, enjoy a good day and may God really bless you as you enjoy today. How old are you? 100. I hope the next 100 will be just as good. A little bit, okay, a little, okay. And then just also did like to ask you this morning just to think, Alfred Mafutu has worked at Gateway for 30 years, but has now decided to go in retirement as of next year. And as a farewell gift, we would like to really just give a real good farewell gift to Alfred. And you'll see inside the pew bulletin, it describes a bit more about Alfred. You've probably seen Alfred around. And if you would please consider giving a donation, you can either do it through an EFT or at each door as you walk out, there's a little basket, that side and that side. And if you can just put in a donation, if you would like to do that. And then, on my left here, are books that are for sale, about 100 rand a book. No. Why I say that is I was reading a comment on Facebook the other day. Someone was selling a bicycle or was giving away a bicycle in America, and it said free. No one touched it. Eventually he said $50 sale. And someone bought it for $50. No. Free books on your left-hand side, free Christian books. Please help yourself and enjoy reading them. We are now in the second Sunday in Advent. This week is known as Peace, Advent of Peace. And so I have asked a family to just light for us the Advent candles. Today it will be two candles, and I would just ask them to come forward and to share with us. Tapang and Queen and family.
There you go.
I like this iPad. Woo, professional.
Good morning.
Last Sunday, we lit the first candle in our Advent wreath, the candle of hope. Let us light it again to show that our hope continues.
John the Baptist called on the people of his day to prepare the path for the coming of the Messiah. He called them to repent, turn around, change their ways, to live in peace with others. We need to repent and change direction.
Second candle to remind us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He shows us how to share God's peace with others.
The prayer of Saint Francis asks God to help us to be peacemakers. Let us say it together.
Let's stand and let us say this prayer together. Lord, make us instruments of your peace.
Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. And where there is darkness, light. Grant us that we may seek not so much to be consoled as to console,
to be understood as to understand,
and to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive,
in pardoning that we are pardoned,
in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Let's sing together the first two verses of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
We just want to thank you for this time that we can gather as a community, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we honor you and we give praise to you, for you are a loving God. You are a God who saved us. Father, as we worship you, may we feel the Holy Spirit moving around us as we sing Our God Saves. The Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In a joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people say, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that.
Let's sing, church.
Our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name.
In the name of the Father.
in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on the Savior, to fall on your grace. In the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings. The world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning dews, the songs of praise.
Saints bow down as your people say, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that, and the world will see that, yes, the world will see that, our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning dews, the songs of praise. Our God saves, our God saves, our God saves.
God, and you've sent your only begotten Son to die for our sins. Lord, we are going to celebrate Christmas, a time to celebrate your coming. But Lord, we are also waiting for your second coming. And we pray, Lord, that you will find us faithful. Let's sing All the World Awaits.
There be peace. As we continue our worship, Father, we pray that you will put that peace in our hearts, that in the midst of a chaotic world, you are here with us. So Father, bless the word, bless the baptism, bless the intake of the new members, Lord. And we prayed, Father God, that we will serve you the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning, I have the privilege of baptizing Akua Maka Lillian, Mina Buke, and Akua Bata Lucia Umuna Buke. I hope I pronounced the surname correctly. The children of Achuna and Lillian. I'd like to ask you to come forward with the twins as we now proceed with the baptism. You can join me up here up front. What does it mean to baptize? After his resurrection, Jesus said to his followers, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Thus, in becoming disciples, people are baptized. They are plunged under water and brought up out of it again, or else water is poured over them. This signifies being buried with Jesus in his death in order to be raised with him in his resurrection. It also signifies the washing away of all their sins and the gift of a new life. For as Jesus died for our sins, so we die to our old life under the power of sin. As he rose in victory over death, so he will raise us in union with him to a new eternal life in the power of his Spirit. This is a sign filled with God's promises. Jesus said, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." John 3:5. The Holy Spirit makes the sacrament effective when we put our faith in Christ. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "You were buried with him in baptism, and in that baptism you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead." Colossians 2:12. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which means that the Father claims us to be his own children, that we are redeemed by Christ and consecrated to serve God by the power of the Holy Spirit. But why do we baptize little children who may not have the necessary faith? It reads, "Thus on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Then your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' The promise is to you and to your children and to all who are a far way away, to everyone whom the Lord our God may call." We're almost there. We're almost there. I just have three questions to ask you, and I'd like you to respond with, "We do." As you bring your children for baptism into Christ, do you confess your own faith in God as your Father in heaven, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit who has given you new life, direction, and strength? Do you turn away from what the world offers to what God offers And do you believe the teaching of the Christian faith as it is contained in the Apostles' Creed? And bringing your children for baptism, do you promise to teach them the Word of God, to train them in the worship of God at home and at church, and to show them the Christian way of life, so that you, by your teaching, your prayers, and your own example, they too may come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, whose Son Jesus Christ instituted this holy sacrament, look upon us with mercy, we pray, and ratify in heaven that which by his command we now do on earth. O Christ, our Savior, who took the little children into your arms and blessed them, take these children, we pray, and seal them to be your own forever, members of your church and the kingdom, who entered into your holy covenant. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be glory now and always. Amen. A kuamaka. Who is a kuamaka? Are you a kuamaka? Can I have you in my arms? Oh, please. That will be quick. Oh, there's mommy. There's mommy. A kuamaka, Lillian. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All done. It's just water, I promise. Look. Just water. Don't you like water? Huh? Can I have your sister now? Sorry. Now I'm going to wake your sister up and be in big trouble. Akuabata. Oh, Akuabata. Wakey, wakey, Akuabata. Hello, say hello to everybody. Oh. Akuabata, Lucia, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Is it just water? Oh, are you still sleepy? Oh, shame. She's going to sleep. There we go. Oh, shame. Akuamaka and Akuabata. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord will listen to your prayers and grant you his peace. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Your children belong to God by his covenant in Jesus Christ. Tell them of their baptism. Unfold to them the treasure given to them today, so that in due time they may make their own response in faith, hope, and love. Congregation, do you take responsibility for these children and all children to be nurtured in the Christian faith? Do you promise to be faithful to the promises God made to you when you were baptized to signify that you do? Please stand. And if you are visiting today, please stand as well. Let us pray. Eternal God, who in your infinite mercy and goodness has promised to be the God and Father, not only of us, but of our children, we thank you for declaring your love and your covenant to this family and children, even before they can hear and understand your gospel. As you have loved them from the beginning, so continue to keep them. May your Spirit rest on them and remain in them to guide and sanctify them. In the power of your Spirit, may they have courage and boldness to always follow Jesus as the Savior of his people and the Lord of all. O God, our Father, bless, we pray, for the home of these children. Help their parents to give Akuamaka and Akuabata both security and freedom, and by their love to show them the meaning of your love. By your Spirit, keep us faithful to our own baptism, so that we may be ready for that day when the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and all creation will be made perfect in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. And you may also be seated. Here are the... Yeah, I agree. Eh? You come to church and you get wet. My goodness. I must tell you that that's probably one of my easiest baptisms. My very first baptism, the baby wouldn't stop crying from beginning to end. So maybe it's because I'm more relaxed with children now. Today I would also like to welcome new members to Gateway. It's been a busy few weeks, but we praise God that in His grace that He blesses us with new folk. And this morning I would just like to ask the following folk just to join me up front here on the stage. I'd like to ask Grace Mukua, there we go, and Kavishni and Michael Knight, and their little family. And there's one person missing today, but unfortunately he's taller than Carl, so I don't know if we're going to bring him into membership, but we'll wait and see. His name's Alan Yates, but Alan's on summer camp, and he won't be joining us today. Where's Kit? No, I'm joking.
He went on leave.
He went on leave. But welcome to our family. And as I welcome you to our family, I would just like to read out to you your commitment or vow to Gateway, and then I would like you to answer with, I do. Okay. Do you believe and trust in God as your Father, in Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your helper? Do you renounce all that is evil, confessing your sin and returning to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God blessed forever? Do you believe the doctrine of the Christian faith as it is contained in the Apostles' Creed? Do you promise to do what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? And to seek first the kingdom, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? Do you promise, as part of your discipleship within this congregation, to study the Scriptures, join in worship, pray regularly, practice stewardship, and actively witness to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you promise to be subject to the doctrine, discipline, and polity of this branch of Christ's church, so long as you remain within it? Thank you. Now I'd like to ask the elders to come forward and to welcome them into membership. Welcome. Welcome. Then I'm going to ask the congregation to stand and let's sing together, Welcome to the Family.
Welcome to the family. We're glad that you have come to share your life with us as we grow in love. What God would ever be a family always there to be strong and to lean on.
more with me today.
May words of love be on our lips in everything we say. May the Spirit melt our heart
and teach us how to pray, that we might be a true family. Oh, welcome to the family. We're glad that you have come to share your life with us as we grow in love. And may we always be to you what God would have us be, a family always there to be strong and to lean on, to be strong and to lean on, to be strong and to lean on.
I see Noah was getting that beat. Woo! Welcome once again. You may be seated. Please be seated. Let's pray. Mighty God, we have just experienced excitement this morning. Lord, we come in this time of Advent and just are overcome, Lord, by the wonder of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Indeed, Lord, Advent means a coming. It means the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as Emmanuel, as God with us. But Lord, too, it is a time of anticipation as we await the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just come before you this morning and give you praise and thanks that in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we have hope. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you will teach us how we also have peace in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks this morning that again we have learned that through baptism, how it is by the coming of Jesus that we are cleansed from all sin because of Jesus's crucifixion, death, and resurrection from the dead. Lord, we have this wonderful opportunity to come into relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, too, that it is through Jesus that, Lord, we can discover who you truly are. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that as we come to understand the purpose of peace, Lord, that you will guide and that you will bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'd like to read from the last book in the Old Testament. The last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. He is a minor prophet. Doesn't mean he dug holes in the ground. A minor, small prophet. But Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Let us hear the word of God. I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. May God bless to us reading of His Word. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A retired couple was alarmed by the threat of nuclear war. So they undertook a serious study of all the inhabited places on the globe. Their goal was to determine where in the world would be the place to be least likely affected by a nuclear war. A place of ultimate security. They studied and traveled. Traveled and studied. Finally, they found the place. And in Christmas 1981, they sent their pastor a card from their new home, the Falkland Islands. However, their paradise was soon turned into a war zone by Great Britain and Argentina in 1982. Within the human heart, there is always this desire for peace. And people will do anything to discover that peace. They will climb mountains. They will ride bicycles. No, bicycles are fine. But people will do all kinds of things trying to find peace. But if there is one thing I have discovered in life, that you can try and do everything you can to attain peace, but if you are not in a relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you will never know peace. Because you see, peace is not a thing. Peace is a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. It's interesting when one reads the scripture, as one goes through the book of Malachi, one discovers that there is this overwhelming sense of disappointment. The Jews were disappointed in God as prophecies were not being fulfilled as prophesied by Isaiah and Jeremiah. They were the major prophets. It was about 90 years, almost 100 years, that the Israelites had returned from exile, from Babylon. They had come back and they had rebuilt Jerusalem and they had rebuilt the temple. And when they were reading the prophets of Jeremiah and Isaiah, they said that there would be this everlasting peace, that peace would come to Jerusalem, that peace would come to them. But it hadn't. 90 years after their return, there was a bad drought. The people were feeling as if they were disappointed in God. God wasn't prospering them. But to be honest with you, God was also disappointed with the Jews. Because the priests were disobedient and the people unfaithful to God. Indeed, Malachi chapter 3 verses 1 to 4 is God's response to the people. You see, in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, this is what God says to the people. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied Him? They ask. By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and He is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice. The people are sitting there. There's a drought. They seem to see that the unrighteous people seem to be prospering and be doing well. And here they are, the faithful people of God. And nothing's happening. They're upset with God. But God says to them, you have wearied me with your words. Where is the God of justice? We hear that a lot, don't we? Especially in our world today, we hear the same complaint. Where is this God of justice? But you see, the problem was, as much as the people blamed God, the problem was they did not know God. The one with the K. They didn't know God. And when you don't know God, you don't know peace. So no God, no peace. Malachi noted earlier that there was a time when Israel honored God correctly. The problem with the current situation is not that God has broken his promise. In fact, he has changed nothing. Malachi 3 verse 6. What has changed for the worse is the attitude of Israel. Malachi's fellow Israelites were guilty of corrupt worship and unethical behavior. If you go back into the Bible, it's quite interesting. God told the people how they needed to worship him. God actually taught them what he wanted when they came to the temple to bring their offering. What would happen is a person would come into the temple, and the first place that you would come to would be a place of offering. The priest would be there, and he would take a knife. Let's say you bring a sheep or a ram, and he would take the gift, and he would cut its throat, run out the blood, and then take out all the nice pieces, the fat, and the some of the innards, and throw it onto the offering to God. But God said that when you bring your ram, when you bring your bull, when you bring your gift before God, your pigeon, your dove, if you bring your grain offering, what did he say they need to be? They need to be perfect. As close as perfect as they could be. But what the people were doing were corrupt. They were bringing dysfunctional sacrifices to God. They were bringing a sheep, a lamb, a dove, a bull that had defect. And the sad thing was that the priests were part of that corruption. They would allow the people to bring these bad offerings before God. And now they complain and say, but God, why are you so unfair? God, why are you so unjust? But where did the injustice start? The injustice started with the people. Sometimes it's quite easy for us to get angry with God. It's quite easy for us to tell God that he's unfair. And sometimes it's quite easy to get worked up. But if there's one thing I've had to learn, and sometimes even in the past few days, I've had to look at myself and my attitude towards God. But fortunately, there is a solution. I always say that for every problem, there is a solution. You've just got to look hard enough. And you see, there was a solution for the Israelites. There is a solution for you and I today. And that solution is that we need to return to a living and loving relationship with God. It's quite interesting that if you look at the wordplay that was going on between God and Israel, especially in Malachi, when they said to God, why is there no justice? But it's quite interesting if you look at the word justice. The word justice, another word for justice is justification. And what is the word justification? It is to make right with. It is to make right with. And so, what does God do for us? These sacrifices that the people bring to God are bad. These sacrifices that the people bring before God is that they try in their own righteousness. They try in their own ability to do the right thing before God. But is it perfect? Is it perfect? No, because they are imperfect human beings. Sadly, we are all born with original sin. And no matter how hard we try in our own strength to do things right before God, what eventually happens? We fail. We try desperately to make things right with God, but we fail. And so God, in His infinite love for us, says, I will do it. I will make things right with you. And what's interesting is, if you go to the book of Daniel, another prophet in the Bible, he says that after 7 times 70 days, God will bring righteousness to the world. So how good is your math? 7 times 7 equals 49. So 7 times 70 equals 490. Now, he talks about days, but in Scripture we talk about years. And what is interesting is that what happened after the people came back from exile, how many years after that were they dissatisfied and disappointed in God? 90 days. And you know what it says to us in Scripture is that for 400 years God was silent. From the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew. What happened 490 years after the people returned from exile? God our Father came in the person of Jesus Christ, His Son, to pay for our sins. God understood that in our own strength and our own power, we will always fail God. And so what does God do? Well, He starts off with His prophet, who we know to be John the Baptist. He comes and He warns the people to repent from their sin. But He talks about a different repentance. In the Old Testament understanding of repentance was that you just turned away. So let's say that was sin. I turned away and I came back to God. But in the New Testament, the word repentance is the Greek word metanoia, which talks about a repentance that starts in our heart. It starts with our attitude. Not just about turning away, but it's also saying, I cannot live my life no longer in that sin. I have to turn away. I have to come back to God. I have to walk in right relationship with God. Because you see, when we allow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to work in our heart, in Malachi chapter 3, it not only talks about John the Baptist, but it also talks about Jesus. Because when Jesus comes, the following happens. But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. It's not talking here about John the Baptist. Who has power over sin? Jesus Christ. For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former days. See, when Jesus Christ comes into our lives and into our hearts, we don't do things out of a sense of duty. We don't do our duty before God because it is a religious act. We do it because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We do it as a duty of love. We do it as an act of love. We do it because Jesus has refined us. We do it because Jesus has purified us. Do you want true peace? Do you want true peace? Thousands of people each year visit the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California. The massive structure was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. For 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, the house was under constant construction. Teams of carpenters, masons, and other workers were employed around the clock. Various stories have been told about the reason for this unusual practice. Most center on Mrs. Winchester's belief that she either was haunted or would be haunted by the ghosts of those killed by her husband's invention, unless she kept building her house. Others claim that she thought she would not die as long as the building continued. Whatever the reason, she continued ordering more renovations and constructions as long as she lived. There are more than 10,000 windows in the Winchester Mansion, doorways and stairs that lead to blank walls, and some 160 rooms in total. It is estimated that she spent more than $70 million in today's money on largely pointless construction, all in a desperate search for peace that was ultimately doomed to fail. Many people today are seeking peace through equally fruitless means. They turn to pleasure, drugs, alcohol, immorality, wealth, and other dead-end avenues. Like the staircases that lead nowhere in the Winchester Mansion, pursuing such paths will never bring peace. Instead, we find peace when we follow the path that God has given us in His Word. Those who keep the law of God in their hearts and obey it in their actions add peace to their lives. Rather than seeking peace as an end, we should seek to follow Christ. When we do, we will find that peace comes to us as a side effect that we receive from Him. No God, no peace. See, if you want true peace, if you really want to experience peace, your first step is to have peace with God. True peace is found when we are at peace with God. Human beings were created to live in peace with God. Sin destroyed that peace and still destroys it for everyone who refuses Jesus' offer of salvation. However, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord believes in his heart that Jesus is the only way to God and is willing to surrender to him as Savior and Lord can have peace with God. Peace with God is at its core a spiritual reconciliation between family members. It's a restored relationship between Heavenly Father and earthly child, made possible simply because Jesus wanted it so, enough that he was willing to suffer, die, and rise from the death for it. It reads, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." We are called, especially during this Advent season, to prepare to meet the Lord. The second reading reminds us to do this by conducting ourselves in holiness and devotion. We are to let the grace of God transform us and make us holy, so we will be prepared for the day of the Lord, whenever that might be. However, once we came to know Christ and trust in him alone, God made peace with us. In Jesus, let us therefore offer praise to his name, because instead of giving us the punishment we deserve, he poured out his wrath on his own son so that we would know peace. Turn to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the absolute solution. Choose him as Lord and Savior, then you will know and have peace. Know Jesus. Know peace.
My dad was my best friend. He was sick and he was in a place where he was gonna die. I was scared. And I didn't want to deal with this. My parents had a good marriage. My dad was very spiritual. People from the Christian church would come to the house and have Bible studies. He would try to tell me about Jesus, but I always would change the subject. And I would tell my dad, like, why must you do that? And he would be like, because one day you will realize and one day you're going to know why it's so important to have God in your life. I learned my dad was sick with colon cancer. I think mostly I was scared and I didn't want to see that or realize that he was in a place where he was going to die. When he passed, I was very angry that if God was around, then why were all these bad things going on? I buried every sad or any memory, anything away. My drinking became a problem after he passed away. My life basically was work, drink, sleep, work. I kind of just woke up one day and I said, okay, God, if you exist, you're going to help take all this pain and all this negative out of my life. I felt this urge to just buy a Bible. So I went and bought a Bible and then I said, okay, I have a Bible. Now what do I do with it? I came across a website called Peace with God. I liked that there's a study guide so I can learn how to read my Bible. I did come across the page where it says, if you accept God, this is the prayer. And I remember I said it out loud. Someone from the website contacted me. It felt good to have someone answer my questions. the fact that you could just go online and search and find peace with God, that website is, it's great. The person I was when my dad died seems like a very different person from what I am now. I'm not sad and I'm not angry. I'm so happy to be alive. I feel like now I have a purpose.
Do you want peace in your life today? Then choose to be at peace with God. Amen. Mighty God, we just thank you for the grace that we find in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that each one of us are so worthy that you have allowed us to be saved by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, it is my prayer this morning that we would truly get to know you, that we would truly come into relationship with you. For, Lord, as we know God, so we shall know peace. And so, Lord, may we find that peace this morning in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we experience that peace of God that transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I pray this in your most wonderful and beautiful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us come before our Lord and quietly reflect on what he has done for us by taking up the offering.
Let us pray for our offerings. Lord God, we are here once again to give thanks to you, to give thanks for what you have given to us. We bring it back to you so that, Lord, you can bless it and multiply it for it to be used in the furthering of your work in your church. Father, bless the hands that is stretched to give to your house, and bless those ones also that had the will but could not do it today. Bless them so that in future they will be able to come and give with an open heart, open mind, and lots of love. Thank you, Jesus, for this offering. We pray. Amen.
Should we stand and sing together our final song?
Unfaithful, come, wicked, unstable, come, no, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has. Unspoken, come, taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run, see what your God has done. Christ is born.
Almighty God, we just give you thanks and praise for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of your peace. Thank you, Lord, that it is your will for us to live in peace. And so, Lord, I pray that we will know you more, that we will know you better. And Lord, just thank you this morning for reminding us through the baptism of your wonderful love for us. And we thank you too, Lord, for our new members. And we just pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this new week, that your grace will be upon us. Lord, keep all those who are traveling safe. Bless our young people, our youth and our young adults as they are at summer camp. May they have a blessed time and may you protect them, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to seek you, that we will draw deeper and deeper with you. And be with us, Lord, I pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us. See you next Sunday. Have a blessed week, everyone. Enjoy the fellowship after with tea and some goodies. And may the peace of God be with you all the time. If you need prayers, the elders are here to pray over you.
One stop in the darkness shines with the promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. We're singing glory. Singing glory, glory, let there be peace, let it start in me. One voice speaks for the voiceless, hope for the hopeless, Emmanuel. One love brings us together, now and forever. We're singing glory, glory, let there be peace, let there be peace. Singing glory, glory, let there be peace, let it start in me. Do not be afraid, His love is strong. Let there be peace. Let it start in me.